How many of you are sailors? Now, when I say are sailors, I mean how many of you have been out on water on a boat? Almost everybody in here. Awesome. How many of you have been out on water on a boat in the middle of a storm? All right. Great. So I could honestly count on one hand the amount of times that I have been on a boat. Not a sailor, not aquatic at all. Like, just not my place. My place is right here, solid ground. That's where I belong. And every time that I have been on a boat, like the smallest of waves, right? This isn't even a wave, but like just that. I grip my seat a little bit tighter. I'm like, whoa, we're about to flip over. This is how I die, right? That's just it. This is the end. Now, I could not imagine being on a boat in the middle of a storm, like having crazy weather all around. Psalms 107 kind of paints this picture of a storm. It says that the waters take you up into the heavens and then bring you down into the depths. Remember, I'm over here like, I'm about to die. Up into the heavens and down into the depths. That is terrifying. And that is the picture that we find the disciples in our story this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Mark chapter 4. Now, I want to just preface this by saying, right, the disciples, some of them were skilled sailors. They were fishermen by trade. Like, that is what they did for a living. They knew how to sail. And yet, still in this story, we find them afraid. It's Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. By the way, he is Jesus, in case you didn't pick up on that. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Some translations read, "Where is your faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Like I said, the disciples, some of them were skilled sailors, and yet they find themselves in the midst of this storm that I imagine exactly echoes what I just quoted from Psalm 107. The winds taking them high up into the heavens and then bringing them down into the depths, and they are afraid. It says that a great windstorm broke out and that the waves were breaking into the boat, that it was filling with water. And these disciples, these men who knew how to sail, they are panicking. They're like, "What are we going to do? We are about to die. This is it. This is the end." And so they go, and they're like, "Where is our Savior?" Oh, he's sleeping. Okay. Wait, he's sleeping? Jesus is asleep. He's covered in water probably at this point. Like, he's probably wet. I don't know. Have you ever been asleep and you've gotten wet? You don't stay asleep very long, but he is still asleep. The disciples go over to them. They shake him awake and they say, "Teacher, how are you asleep? Do you not care that we are perishing?" And it says that he got up and he rebuked the storm. Now, in preparation for this sermon, I looked at a lot of pictures and paintings throughout history of artists who have tried to capture this moment. And I don't think any of them did a proper, like, respect to the situation. See, all of these pictures, they have Jesus standing on the edge of the ship with his hand raised, saying, "Peace, be still." Now, maybe that's how it happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. But also, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Jesus is human. Now, I don't know about you guys, but But when I am asleep, and if I am in a nap mode, I don't like to get woken up. Like, I am a little bit on the irritable side, especially if I'm woken up rudely. Like, if I'm shaken awake, if I am wet when I get up, I'm like, what is going on? Right? I've legitimately shot a person with an airsoft gun once because they woke me up from a nap. All right? This is me. Just saying. So I can't imagine Jesus getting shaken awake, wet, standing up and going to the edge of the ship and being like, peace, be still. Not only that, it says that he rebuked the storm. Now, I think of two different kinds of rebuking. I think of the mom, right? Their kids are playing. She's standing in the corner, and her kid isn't sharing. And she's like, tisk, tisk, share. Right? There's this kind of rebuking. And I don't think that's it, right? Then there's this other kind of rebuking. This is the kind of rebuking where it's Sunday morning, you're already 15 minutes late, you've taken all morning to get your kids ready in their Sunday dress, right? Their Sunday finest. And you walk outside and you look and they're playing in the snow already. And they're covered, they're wet, they've got like the only patch of mud in the entire yard, it's on them. So you get into the car and you're on the way here, finally. Now you're up to half hour late. And you're on your way, you're coming, and your kids are just screaming the entire time. And you're just sitting there, and you're like, enough! Be still! See, I think that is the kind of rebuke that Jesus is having in this moment. I think that he got shaken up out of his nap. He gets up, he walks to the edge of the ship, which probably was more like he wakes up and turns around, I don't know. And he's just like, enough! Peace, be still. And when Jesus says enough, you listen. And I just imagine like this boat being up mid-wave and just like, boom, silence. And Jesus is like, turns to his disciples and says, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? See, I don't think it's that the disciples didn't have faith. Like I said, some of them were skilled sailors. They were fishermen. They were familiar with the Sea of Galilee. They were familiar that sometimes it is calm, but because of the mountains on the side of the sea, because of the cool winds coming over the mountain, hitting the warm waters, a storm can break out like that with little or no warning whatsoever. They knew this. And still, when Jesus said, let's go across to the other side, they followed him. I don't think it's that they didn't have faith. I think it's that they put their faith in the wrong place. I think maybe it was that they didn't think it was storm season, so they put their faith in the fact that it wasn't storm season. Maybe they put their faith in the fact that they were skilled sailors, and that even if a storm did come, they could sail their way out of it. Maybe they put their faith in the fact that because they were with Jesus, there wouldn't be a storm at all, which I'll come back to that, don't worry. Maybe when they got in the boat, they thought, Jesus will take care of us even if a storm does hit. He's been doing miracles all along. He's been teaching. Like, we see this. Maybe that's going to happen. But when the storm hit, they took their faith off of Jesus, the one who's got them, and they put their faith in the storm, afraid that it's going to get them. See, and I think that we do this. I think there are times where we put our faith in the wrong place. Whether that is in ourselves, in our finances, in our strength, our own ability to do things, maybe we put our faith in our spouses or in our families. We put our faith in our coworkers or our friends. And maybe when storms hit, we put our faith in the storm. We take it off of Jesus and we put it in the storm because we're afraid that it's going to get us. But really, the only one who has the power to save us from our storms is Jesus. See, this is the God that we serve. We serve the God that made the storm. He made the seas. He made the earth. We serve the God that says that he came down into darkness and the darkness could not overcome him. In John 15, it says that Jesus says these words. He says, the ruler of the world is coming, but he has no claim on me. This is Jesus. It is through him, it is by him, and it is for him that all things are made that are made. Moses says that the Lord our God is called Man of War. The Lord is his name. We serve the Alpha and the Omega, A to Z, the beginning and the end. This is the God that we serve. He is the one who has the power to calm the seas. He is the only one that can stand at the edge of our storm and say, peace, be still. We have to put our faith in him. But the question is, how do we make this a reality in our lives? How do we make the calming of the storms a reality? It starts by recognizing that we are sailing. So I love this analogy, if you will, of just sailing over the seas of life. Sure, sometimes life is going to be going great. The seas will be calm. It'll be smooth sailing. But just like the Sea of Galilee is fickle, the Sea of Life is more so. We could be having smooth sailing and have a devastating storm come in just like that, without any warning, just be upon us. And just because we are Christian, just because we have God on our side, does not mean that storms aren't going to come. I think the story illustrates that the storm still comes, but that Jesus has the power over the storm. He has the power to bring us through it. So even though there are storms, we don't need to be afraid. We just have to get the right people on board. Sorry. There's really no covering that. But we have to get the right people on board. We have to start by making sure that Jesus is on our ship. Because if we don't have Jesus on our ship, what's the point? When that storm hits, we're going down. See, the disciples, if Jesus wasn't asleep on the stern, there wouldn't be disciples. If Jesus wasn't with them in that moment, that would have been the last moment for them. Jesus would have been praying and fasting throughout the night, choosing other disciples, because that would have been the end of their story. But Jesus was with them. He was on the ship with them. And we have to make sure that we have Jesus on board. And we have to make sure that we have the right crew around us. These are the people that are sailing with us. These are the ones who are by our side through life. They are the ones who are encouraging us, who are supporting us. They are the ones who make sure that we are still sailing in the right direction. They are the ones who are checking the ropes on the ship to make sure everything is still tight and in order. Wouldn't it be great if we had people in our lives that are asking us how we're doing spiritually? If we had people who came alongside us and said, hey, what does your spiritual life look like? How's your devotional life? What has God been teaching you lately? What is your prayer life like? We need people in our lives to hold us accountable, to drive us forward, to make sure that we are still sailing in the right direction, and that when the storm does hit, we need the people that are going to say, hey, go to Jesus. See, the disciples, they might have taken their faith off of Jesus and put it in the storm, but when they were afraid of their lives, they did something very right. They ran to Jesus, and they shook him awake, and they said, Jesus, we need you to save us. We need the people in our lives that when the storm hits, they come alongside us and say, hey, let's go to Jesus. We've got to get the right people on board. The last thing that we need to do to make this a reality in our lives is to trust in God. You see, this verse that I'm about to read, it's just been sticking out in my mind all week. It's Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the earth. I will be exalted among the nations." See, all of my life, I have heard this verse wrong. I've had a misunderstanding of this verse. I've always read this verse that says, "Be still," as go and find a quiet place and pray. Sit in silence and in solitude. That is how I have always understood this verse. And hear me, that is important. It is so important that we are quiet and alone with God, and that we are spending time listening to what he is telling us. Because if our prayer is a one-sided conversation, then we are missing out on the important bits. We have to be spending time alone with God, listening to him, praying. I've heard it quoted recently that it is through our quiet times alone with God that we are shaped. It is so important, even necessary, that we are spending time alone with God. But that's not what this verse is saying. When the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God," it's not about prayer. It's about trust. I want to read Psalm 46 for us. It says that God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See what this psalm is saying. Be still. Even though the world is a mess, even though there are natural disasters happening all around us, even though it seems like every single nation is trying to have war against each other, even though the storm is raging in our lives, God is in control. Be still. He's got this. We just have to put our faith in him. The one who has the power to come to the edge of the storm and say, "Peace, be still." So that's how we're going to end this morning. The worship team is going to come back up, and we are going to spend the next few minutes being still, trusting in God. Maybe the seas of your life are calm right now. And if that is the case, praise God. Be still and taking refuge in him, just knowing that he has brought you into this season of life where the sea is still. But if the seas of your life are stormy, if they're going up into the heavens and down into the depths, and you're hanging on by every ounce of strength that you have, now is the time to be still and trust in God. And if you don't have Jesus on board, fix that immediately. Like, this is it. This is the time. That is the most important thing that we can do, because the storms of life are devastating. And Jesus is the only one who can come to our storm and say, "Be still." He's the only one who has the strength and the authority to carry us through our storms. So if Jesus isn't on board, get him in your life. As we're coming into this time of prayer and this time of being still. RJ's up here. The altar is open. Come and pray with him. Let God in. Bring him on board, because he will carry you through. And if the storms are raging in your life and you've put your faith in the wrong place and you need to realign your faith, again, the altar is open. Now is the time to come and find a place at the foot of Christ, realigning your faith to where it needs to be. As I've been praying about this week, I felt this urge to pray against fear. See, every time there's an altar call, right, we're always sitting in our seats and we're afraid. Like, what are people going to think? What if I do go pray with Pastor RJ? What are people going to think of me? What if I do come and I kneel at the altar? What is going to be going through everybody's head when I come forward? I want to tell you exactly what we're thinking. See, when we come to the altar, I have never once seen somebody come up to the altar and thought, wow, I wonder what's going on in their life. It has always been me joining in with the angels in heaven, celebrating because you have come to a place of grace, because God is doing a work in your life. When you come to this altar, it is a time of celebration. It is like when the son comes home and he's coming up over the hill and the father sees him. His father's not saying, well, what's he doing back here? His father is running out to meet him. This is a time of celebration, so do not let anything hinder you. If you are feeling called to come to the altar and pray, if you are feeling called to get Jesus on board, whatever it is, don't let any fear keep you short of it. And if you need to get your crew around you to do that, gather your crew. Spend time praying in your seats. Spend time coming up together to the altar. Do whatever it takes to meet with God in these minutes. This is a time to be still, to celebrate what if you are in calm seas, and to cry out to God if you aren't.